Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Hey guys.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, before we get into this topic today, I just want to make a quick announcement and to the listeners. We are coming down to the last few weeks of the podcast for this season. So just wanted to take a minute to remind everybody, please, just send one episode to one friend, whatever your favorite episode is, recent episode is, or something that you think they will find interest in. Please share with them. Your support in sharing this with people is the only way that we can get this thing to grow and try to accomplish our mission of improving the building industry. So please share this with a friend. Just one episode, one friend is all we ask. Okay, Jason. Now, I recently had a conversation with a friend, and we were laughing about how in college we both had instances where there's people that kind of skim the college scene to try and get cheap labor because they figure you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how much to bill, and any amount is good. So they try to get cheap labor, and there's often people, the ambitious people, that want to jump in. And the funny thing about it is that we were laughing because you have no idea what you don't know at that age. You learn AutoCAD, like for us, learn AutoCAD, and you're good at it. And you're like, yeah, I could do that. I could totally do that. So, like, this person I was speaking to, I think, had a garage conversion that came to them. And then someone came to me and asked, and yes, this is going to be funny. Somebody asked me to do a landscape design. And
landscape?
Yeah. Yes.
What? Like, why would they ask you to do landscape? Like,
that? Yeah, exactly. And
but you said yes.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I know
AutoCAD. How hard can it be?
Yeah, I know AutoCAD. I know how to draw circles and do a curved line. This can't be difficult at all. So this person, I don't even remember how exactly we got connected, but they asked for a landscape plan, and they had just a, you know, empty backyard, and they were trying to figure out what to do. And I think I actually went there, took some measurements, and scoped it out, talked to them for a little bit, and was like, yeah, I could do this. And then I sat down in front of my computer and was like trying to figure out what to do and doing this pathway and throwing in some trees and other stuff. And I get to the end, or what I think is the end, and I'm like looking at it. I was like, no one can do anything with this. So I sent it over to them, and I was literally like, look, I know we talked about so much money. Take a look. If you feel like you owe me money, then you can pay me. If not, don't worry about it.
It was that bad.
It was that bad. I knew.
Oh, no.
I knew what I sent was not good. So I was just like, I'm not even going to take these people. I don't think they responded at all. It was like, I was like, I don't want them to respond. I'm just going to move on.
How old were you?
This was probably like my first or second, probably my first year in college. I think it was my first, because I had just like gotten used to AutoCAD.
Crashed and burned, eh, Mav?
Oh, so bad. So bad. So have you had an instance like that where you...
No. Not that bad.
Yeah, wow. It was, yeah, so, it was pretty bad.
So I think you're on an island with your on your own with that one. I mean, I've crashed and burned. But it's not like I walked in and been like, yeah, I can do what Michelangelo did. Why not? You know, just doesn't look that hard.
Come on,
water cola.
Come on, come on. Don't leave me out here.
No, I think you have to be on this one. Okay, so where have I completely just like muffed it? I mean, I guess the no joke though. It's a stretch. The I mean, from where I am to where you were on that one. So. I had to, when the cabinet company first started 6-7 years ago, we had a gentleman or a partner that we started with that had been in the industry forever. So ideally the way it was set up was I was only supposed to handle the account management contract sales portion of it. Wasn't supposed to be like really involved in the ops or anything like that. Right. Or at least in the production of it, you know what I mean? From timeline schedules, whatever, maybe some, but it wasn't really supposed to be uber involved. Well, and so that came into, you know, the cabinet version of CAD, which is not true CAD, but there's cabinet programs, you know, measuring, layout, like all these specifics, right? And I remember setting up our first job that we had to go to because it was a relationship that I had for our first community, right? Like big deal. And so we get out there and the dude's supposed to meet me out there. Mm-hmm. I hadn't drawn the plans. I hadn't done any of this kind of stuff. Like, I mean, I'm, you know, I know it. I know what our product is. I mean, I had done my homework. I know my stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as layouts and, you know, measurements and all for cabinets, like I was stupid.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean, I know how to measure a house and do a blueprint and, you know what I mean? Basic stuff like that. But I measure flooring. I mean, if you're over in flooring, it's no big deal. You cut it in. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. This is exact stuff. Right. And so he ended up like either A, getting lost or couldn't find it or something stupid. And I had to walk through the first two or three plans and winged the whole thing that I did. And it was so bad that I couldn't even tell you if I did it right or wrong. You know
God.
What I mean?
Yeah.
But it flew.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm enough of a talker, I think.
Yeah.
And can say enough of the generalized right things and knew when to open my mouth and when not to open my mouth.
Yeah.
I got, you know, use the measuring tape. I mean, I'm good with the measuring tape. You know what I mean? So yeah. I made it look official. And,
oh God.
But it was one of the most, I mean, that was the easiest time to probably realize, you know, I was not an expert in
yeah.
the field. And maybe because I've known these guys for a long time, they let me get away with it. You know what I mean? And just didn't want to let me burn. But then the funny part is the type of relationship I had with those guys. If they knew I was struggling, they would have just been giving me shit. Like that's, you know what I mean? Like they would have just been eating on me. Yeah. So that didn't happen. So yeah. I'm not really positive. Now I can tell you when I got back and I had measurements done and all this kind of stuff, I couldn't even explain it to the guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I came back to the shop. And so we ultimately went out there the next day and, you know, redid everything. And I missed a lot of stuff. Like
yeah.
I missed a lot of stuff. But then it was a really good lesson for me because I remember being really pissed off with myself about being that reliant on somebody else,
mm-hmm.
And being involved in something that I didn't understand to that degree to where it was like, I could have just ran the whole thing myself. Now, granted, I'm still learning 7 years in, you know what I mean? Little idiosyncrasies here and there, but for the most part, you know, I can do whatever you need to do in those areas. So, but that was a big lesson for me. But no, I never, you know, nobody's ever come up to me and like, hey, you want to run stucco? I'm like, yeah, how hard can it be?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't done that yet. I haven't done that.
Yeah.
More engineering because I've done a cabinet CAD program.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's not the same.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not a starving student at this point either. So that
yeah.
probably part of it. You know, you looked at the cash part of it, but I haven't had to do that yet.
Yeah.
And hopefully at this stage in my career, I understand I should not do that.
So. Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that. That's
starving.
That's the biggest difference between professionals and non-professionals is that you know what you don't know and you know
the limitations
and you know the ramifications of jumping into something that you don't know. So yeah, that was funny, but I think it's While I say that, I think it's also a good experience to have because it scares the crap out of you and you're like, I never want to be in that situation or have that feeling ever again. So you make sure you overstudy, you make sure that you know every single possible angle of how something can come at you so that you don't get caught flat-footed. And you do have to also make sure that it doesn't scare you so much that you don't, you know, take some risk occasionally here and there to, because you have to take risks to move forward. But that experience was something that I'll never forget. But it was just so funny. We were both laughing at the fact that, you know, both of us had a similar situation of like, once you finally get into like hearing it, you think, oh, that's easy, I can do that. And then once you get into it and you're actually putting pen to paper, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing at all.
You know what was interesting? Yours is different because yours is like a program and super technical and that type of stuff, right? And I'm not trying to knock the rest of the trades. That's not my point. But, you know, having been in construction for a lot of years at that point, or at least 10 years at that point, and being in the field a lot and dealing with different problem solving situations and seeing things that got goofy, it did enable me the opportunity to be able to kind of fake my way through some stuff, or kind of not fake, fight my way through some stuff. Right. And you understand dimension, you understand measurements, you understand critical areas and things like that. So, you know, there's a, and again, I don't really know, but there's a good possibility that I was doing okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because you have some trade based knowledge, and luckily for what, at least in my opinion, or at least for me, a lot of it's common sense in construction. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a lot of technical like that you have to learn, and you can't go from being just an apprentice to a journeyman overnight. But a lot of the stuff from a basic standpoint, from pre-concept or from concept to, you know, pre-design, is common sense based. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's once you kind of learn, it's almost like, what do they say? Like in music, right? Like when you learn one instrument, it makes it easier for the others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They all say start with a basic piano, right? But like in this situation, because I'm used to looking at layouts and I'm used to looking at different things, for me to go do a layout with some other trade wasn't the end of the world. It's not the first time I walked in there was like, I've never done a drawing, but okay, right? You know, so it's not like me opening that program for the first time trying to design something, having never done it before. It was like, no, I've been in there. Somebody kind of showed me around. So now I can kind of fight my way through it.
Yeah.
And I would actually tell you in those situations, those are the growth ones, right? Because it's uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't know everything about it, but you kind of, and then you have that overwhelming feeling. I know we were talking about that a little bit because you're just, like in my head, I'm like, oh, this is not good, right? And, but then you kind of relax and be like, okay, what do I know? Well, I know the size of what we're doing. I know how to use a measuring tape. I know how to take dimensions and all that kind of stuff. Like, okay, let's kind of calm down and see what we can figure out here.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of deal. So you get a lot of growth out of that stuff because you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
It's not like I can cancel a meeting that has a division president, the vice president of operations, the construction, like all these people coming out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in that situation, the first job for a brand new company.
Yeah.
Like it's just not an option. So you kind of have to go figure it out. And I think that's the growth point for a lot of people. Are you going to be able to sit down and be like, okay, let's make it through this, as opposed to, oh crap, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of deal. So it was scary.
The fatal flaw that I ran into is not realizing that it's not about the program at that point. Like I misunderstood that I knew the program so I could do this.
Right.
But that's not what is involved there. It's the process of design and putting a literal pen to paper and coming up with a concept, and that part I hadn't grasped yet. Right. You know, my first year into school, I knew how to, you know, copy something on AutoCAD, but going through the actual process of developing a concept, sketching it out, all those little elements that add up to what you ultimately will transfer into AutoCAD, that part I just wasn't there yet and didn't realize that is that is what you are actually delivering is that process of design. As a young person coming up in the industry, realize what you don't know and try to figure out the ramifications of taking on something that you don't, that you're, that's outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think the other one of the other ways to look at it too is like, don't be afraid to take on something you don't know, but understand you don't know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like have an open mind as opposed to, oh yeah, I can knock this out, like that arrogance, right? You know, and I've had a problem with that over the years of my own.
Yeah.
But it's knowing, you know, be humble and be like, I'm gonna learn how to do this and I'm gonna figure it out. Not, this is no big deal. You know what I mean? Like those are two very different swings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Big difference.
Yeah. And I want to clarify, I keep saying young person. Doesn't necessarily have to be a young person, but green, I guess, would be the better word if you're new to an industry or anything like that. But I think know that you don't know it, but you also need to, like, if you're going to take that risk and go outside of your comfort zone, you have to know that you're going outside of your comfort zone. And anybody that's around you that's going to be working with you or you're doing the work for has to understand that you... this is outside of your comfort zone. So, yeah, you can't mislead people. You can't, even though in your mind you think that, you know, I'm going outside of my comfort zone, but I don't want to show my cards. They have to understand too, because their expectation levels is going to be different from what you probably can deliver. So that's another part of it, is managing expectations.
Like, I think when you look at it, you know, I started account management, contract sales for the company overall, maybe like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started doing it, right? The process of and trying to procure revenue and do that type of stuff. And, you know, I'd always been in like retail sales. So you have sales experience, right? But it was kind of unnerving and a little like you had to figure it out because I had nobody telling me like, this is how you do it. Like everybody always wants to be told, this is how you do it. Like here, A, then B, then C, then D. It's like, no. Like things don't work that way. And so I kind of had to figure it out. And I remember the first few, I mean, I probably bombed the first few opportunities I had, like when I finally got somebody's ear, because a lot of it was cold calling to start and like trying to get meetings with people and everything. When I'm, I think at the time I was customer service manager or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be somewhat, going back to what we were talking about earlier, you have to be somewhat willing to make the mistakes to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like sacrificing that situation and know that you're just really finding your way or your method or, you know, adding to that experience belt. Right.
Yeah.
But I remember being scared to death when somebody was like, okay, let's do this. Like, go make something happen. And I'm like, what do you do? And they're like, well, you just, you know, go make it happen. Okay. You know? And I think the first meeting I had, cause you're talking about millions of dollars when it comes to a contract, you know, the first meeting I had was pretty unnerving. You know what I mean? And I brought somebody else from the company with me just so they could talk more to it. And honestly, that person was terrible. That's no longer with us, but you have to be willing to give it a shot, but no, you don't know everything. You know what I mean? Like I think that's the biggest key.
Yeah.
You know, it's you gotta have some confidence, but not arrogance at the same time. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a really fine line to walk that, you know, I've struggled with and sometimes lean one way more than the other at times than I should, but yeah, I remember that being really the first time I went into that being pretty, you know, like nervous, super nervous.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to ask me. I don't know if I'm going to have the answer to it. You don't want to not have enough answers, right? It's like, it's okay to be like, you know what, I'm not sure, but I'll get to the answer. But yeah. You don't want to say that's like every question.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. That's, I think we've mentioned that before, but.
Yeah. It has okay. Some knowledge. Idiot, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay. We're running out of time here. So before we wrap up, I did want to say one thing. Just as a reminder to everyone, we are going into I guess for us in California, it's semi-cold, but across the country in other places, it's very cold.
I think it's supposed to be like 80 degrees today. What are you talking about, like semi-cold?
Well, in general.
It dropped to 60, folks. We were freezing.
But it is going into the colder season, so people are going indoors more. And I know some may not believe or think it's as bad as it is, but COVID is going out of control right now. So be careful. And I'm mentioning this as a reminder because my mom just told me about a client of hers who was infected with COVID and, you know, was feeling sick and then within 7 days gone. And he was in his late 30s. Healthy guy, no issues, no, you know, preconditions or anything like that. So you know, whatever your belief level or think it, you know, the seriousness of it, just be careful, be cautious, consider how you are going to handle the holiday season coming up. If you hear this before then, wear masks, keep the rooms ventilated if you intend on being with people. But in general, be careful, be cautious, take care of it.
I got two things. I'm not going to go completely against you. Don't worry. I just want to clarify. So I'm looking at the week weather. So it is going to get rather chilly here in Southern California. We go from 81 today as a high, all the way down to 70 by next Tuesday.
For some people, that's cold.
We do hit 68 by next Wednesday, so we may very well be breaking out the UGG boots and everything else here in Southern California. So, just for those that are trying to understand exactly how cold it gets, and I will say I'm not exactly on the same page with, you know, people's thoughts on the different things, but I absolutely respect everybody wanting to stay safe and do those types of things. I don't think there's any reason not to do that. But we're all dealing with it in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. So.
All right.
I got to go get a jacket.
Yeah. All right. We will sign off, and we have an episode coming out on Wednesday, which is, the Eiffel Tower. So check that out, and then we will be back here on Thursday. Thanks. This show is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. You can help support what we're doing here by leaving a 5-star rating and a review on your preferred podcasting app. It helps others find us, and your support is the only way that this show grows. And don't forget to connect with us through our Facebook community, Instagram, and see the random thoughts and articles that we share on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk, and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.